Let's pray and we will get started. Dear God, we pray we could have a great worship service this morning. We thank you for all that you provide for us, for all the good things that we have. And we pray that you would help us with our parenting as we look at parenting for the next few weeks. Father, that you would help us to really make a change if we need to in our lives and be the parents that you want us to be. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Is Mike Rowell in the house? He's coming in now. Mike Rowell was Volunteer of the Month for Project Open Hand. So, amen. Amen. So that's a cool thing. And the little blurb they sent out, my son got it at Ernst & Young. It came, you know, and he said, oh, I know him. But it mentioned our church as being the source of the volunteers that he organizes. So that was cool. What we're going to do today is start a series on parenting, or actually Richard announced it back on October 17th that we would do this. So for the next four Sundays, we're going to be talking about parenting. It's from a series called Grounded that was created by Dave Pachta. I think many of us are doing great in the area of parenting. We have many spiritual parents in our congregation. Some of us are not doing so great. And this is a class or a series of classes that's an opportunity to help you do better in your parenting. As Richard mentioned a couple of weeks ago when he sort of launched this series, this is an opportunity to change the culture of our churches in terms of parenting, and especially having great impact on our youth and family ministry and on our middle school ministry in those crucial years when hopefully they'll decide to become disciples. And that's what we want to see. We want to see more and more of our youth becoming disciples before they leave the home, and building that in terms of both our youth and family ministry, our families, and just the encouragement that will be for all of us as parents to see that happening. So that's the goal today. And I don't want anyone to be discouraged. We're going to go through, as the email said this week, we're going to go through the 10 parenting vows. And I don't want anyone to be discouraged or overwhelmed. I know some of these, going through in all 10 of these can seem like a lot. But my goal is going to be to offer some practicals, some things that I've done or seen other people do in their parenting to help with this. And again, the opportunity here is if you feel like, oh, this is I don't do some of these things, this is overwhelming. The opportunity here is to just start. Start where you are. And take some concrete steps to start doing these things, and God will bless it. Amen? Amen. Okay, on October 17th, Richard laid out a couple of challenges. One from Joshua, where Joshua said, choose this day whom you will serve, but as me and my house, we will serve the Lord. First, it's just a decision. You have to decide that you and your household are going to be a spiritual household, that you're going to serve the Lord. So it starts with a decision. It starts with just determination on our part. That's what we want. And then the focus is on, quoting the greatest commandment that Jesus quoted, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And then the second greatest commandment, love your neighbor as yourself. Again, the focus is being spiritual, being a spiritual person. The best way to be a spiritual parent is to be a spiritual person. And that's where it starts. It starts with us. This class today, we're going to talk a little bit about some things we can do with our kids, but most of it is about us, about being the spiritual people we need to be, and then that's how we can most help our children. Amen? Amen. Amen. Okay. And I also want to mention this at the beginning. I'm a little rattled this morning. My wife fell as we were trying to come to church. And she had to stay home. I think she's okay. I sent Art home to be with her. But it was a little disconcerting. She just fell on the steps in the garage. So pray for her. I think she just got banged up a little bit. Nothing serious. But if I don't seem my normal self, that's why. Okay, the first vow is I vow passionately to pursue my relationship with God above everything else. If you looked at the handout, they quoted the previous scripture about loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And I quoted a couple of different scriptures. Matthew 4:4, Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. In the Sermon on the Mount in the Lord's Prayer, he said, give us this day our daily bread. You know, Jesus wants us to pray daily. He wants us to feed on the word daily. How many people had at least one meal every day in the month of November so far? Okay, somebody might have fasted or something, or for a doctor's appointment or spiritually, but generally speaking, we eat more than one meal a day, don't we?
Yes.
I know I do, usually three. As a hobbit would say, more if I can get them. The word is like food. You know, we don't deny ourselves food, and we need that. We need the word every day. We need to be praying every day. This is being a Christian 101, and we all know this. But to be great parents, it's absolutely crucial that we be in the Word and praying to God every day. And, we all know this. And the practical things here is, you know, just it's a relationship you're building with God. You know, it's not just about being disciplined or being organized, although that might help. It's really about building a relationship with God, wanting to have a relationship with God, and wanting to have that time, and figuring out a way to get it in your schedule on a regular and consistent basis. Just like anybody else you want to build a relationship with. You want to build a relationship with your husband or your wife. You want to build a relationship with your best friend. You want to build a relationship with your kids. You pursue that. You invest time with that. That's the same thing with the Lord. We just need to want to do it. So find the time. I pray. I did it this morning. I pray when I'm exercising. You know, I don't like to watch TV or listen to music when I'm exercising. So I just pray when I'm exercising. I have a bike in the basement. I'm quiet. I can turn the lights off, do it in the dark, and just pray to God while I'm riding my bike, a bicycle machine. And I do that several times a week. Or I go to the office early. I have my own office. I'm fortunate. I can shut the door, shut out the world. I can open the windows and look out at the world. I'm on the 40th floor. I can see Kennesaw Mountain. And I can just have a quiet time all by myself early in the morning at the beginning of the day. And so just find whatever works for you. Maybe you get up too early and you need your quiet time later in the day. But just find that way that you can be drawing near to God every day. And that's the foundation for everything else. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. Number two. And I'm going to run a little bit because we have 10, which means we have 3.5 minutes per vow. I vow to keep my treasure in heaven, Matthew 6. In verse 21, Jesus said, for where your treasure is, your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body, so if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You can't serve God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about life, what you will eat, what you will drink, about the body, what you will put on. Is life not more than food, and the body more than clothing? And he goes on to elaborate the point. You know, we worry about money. We do. We worry about money. We worry about paying the bills. We worry about saving, getting the kids through college, retirement. We worry about these things. And Jesus says here not to worry. And if you back up, he says, therefore, do not worry. And that's why I read the part before that. And what he says is it's a question of where are we putting our treasure? You know, where is our heart? If our heart is in the kingdom of God, if our heart is in seeking God and building up our treasure in heaven, then we have the basis, the foundation that we cannot worry about money. So that, you know, we have to turn that around. It's not just, I need to stop worrying about money. No, it's where are we putting our focus? Where are we putting our treasure? We put our treasure in heaven. We're giving to God. Financially, we're giving to God of our time and energy. And yes, we need to have a plan. We need to be wise. We need to have a budget. Take financial peace if you haven't. You know, we need to have a plan and work our plan financially, and we can have peace of mind that way. But our focus primarily needs to be on God and putting our trust in Him. And then He's going to take care of everything else. And our kids need to see this in us. If they see us always worried about money and our job and paying the bills, if they see that's a dominant part of our lives, they're going to pick that up. They're going to see that. But what they need to see instead is our faith. That we're putting our treasure in heaven. That's more important than the things of this life. And Richard's going to do a whole series in January on this, on money and giving. And it's called The Treasure Principle. It's a series Mike Tolliver did in San Antonio. And so we're going to have all of January to cover this topic. So I'm not going to cover it anymore right now. Amen. But that's vow number two. Vow number three. I vow to fiercely attack sin in my own life and model repentance for my children. Ephesians 2. Ephesians 4, excuse me, 22. Now we're starting at verse 21. Assuming you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. So we have to take our sin seriously. We have to, as we all decided when we became a disciple, when we repented, we have to put to death our old self and put on the new self that God has given us. The new self where we can be righteous like Jesus. We have to keep doing that and keep doing that. And we can't become complacent about our sin or let ourselves sink back into our old ways. We have to keep attacking that and keep fighting that so that our children can see it. Amen. So that we can be righteous and we can go to heaven, but so that they can see it. They can see that it's real. Our fight against sin is real.
Amen.
And they need to see that and know that, that we are attacking it in our own lives. Because if we are not, but then we are disciplining and expecting them to do the right thing, well, there's a name in the Bible for that. That's a hypocrite or what the Pharisees were. And we don't want to be that before our kids. This is hard. A lot of times we want to just say, well, that's the way I am. I can't change. But you can. With the power of God, we can change. It doesn't mean we're perfect, but it means we are dealing with our sin.
Amen.
We are at war with our sin. We are putting it to death. And we're going to sin in front of our kids. And, when that happens, we have to apologize to them.
Yes.
I had to do that many times. I still do that. When I sin, I have to apologize to my kids. I used to get angry at home a lot when they were younger. Fortunately, I don't do that as much anymore. But when they were younger, I'd get angry. And I'd have to go back and apologize to them. I'm sorry, that's not right. And when they see that, it has a tremendous impact. They don't expect us to be perfect, but when we apologize, it has great power that we are humble, that we acknowledge our own sin and are trying to deal with it. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Number four. I vow to do whatever I need spiritually and emotionally to be the best, to get help to be the best parent I can be. Proverbs 27:17. Does anybody know that? As iron sharpens iron, so one man or woman sharpens another. Okay, a familiar passage about getting help from each other to be the best we can be, to be the sharpest we can be, to be the most spiritual that we can be. And we need to be doing that. We need to be, and we emphasize it in this church, have a discipling partner, someone that you get with on a regular basis and you help each other grow spiritually. You confess sin to each other. You encourage each other with scriptures. Pray with each other. It's vital to our spiritual health in general, but it's especially vital to our parenting. Steve Galbraith and I get together all the time for almost every single week, and he has, through the years, helped me tremendously with my boys especially, and my daughter too, as they grew older, as they became teenagers, and then now they're young adults. Steve just helped me tremendously. It was great that I could seek advice from him, that I could watch his example because his boys were older and see how he dealt with them. And so that's what we need. We need those kind of relationships. We can't just be doing this on our own, trying to figure out how to do it. We need help, and help from spiritual people, help from godly people, help from people we can see are being successful parents and spiritual parents in their own families. Those are the kind of people we want to get help from. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Number 5. I vow to model devotion to Christ's community, the church. Acts 2. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to the prayers. And great awe came upon every soul. Many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. All who believed were together and had all things in common. They were selling their possessions and belongings, distributing to the proceeds to all as any as had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. You know, we see here they were devoted. They were devoted to the fellowship. They were devoted to prayer, to breaking of bread together. It says they met daily. We're going to start doing that tomorrow. We're going to meet every single day. No. Maybe it doesn't necessarily mean literally the whole church met every single day, but they were together with other disciples every day. Every day. And, you know, we can do that face-to-face, perhaps, but we can certainly do that by phone. You know, we can be in touch with disciples all the time. And that's the kind of relationships that's being described here. And that's the kind of relationships we need to have. And we need to have with the church. You know, we need to be here at worship services and at midweek and making that a priority. We need to be at other functions, family group activities, you know, whatever is going on that we're a part of. At retreats and getting our kids to retreats, middle school retreats, teen retreats, holiday at the swamp, if you can do that, you know, just getting our kids involved in the things of the kingdom too. It's just very important to do this. You know, it's the kingdom of God. You know, it's the most important thing there is to be a part of is God's kingdom on earth, the kingdom that was prophesied throughout the Old Testament. I've been reading through Isaiah about that the past few days, just, you know, the great joy that came when that was prophesied about, that when Jesus would come, then the kingdom would start. And then Jesus came to pass. And then we now have that. We're a part of that. We can see it all, read about it in the Bible, and be a part of it today. It's the kingdom of God. It's more important than anything else we might be involved in. And that's what our kids need to see. You know, this is, we tried very hard as we were growing up, as our kids are growing up, to make the kingdom the top priority, the top thing in the schedule. Whatever church activities, those came first in our schedule, and then we fit other things around it. And so that meant we had to limit the other things. You know, so we tried to limit it to where our kids were only involved in one other extracurricular activity, whether it was sports or Boy Scouts or music. We tried to limit it to where it was only one thing at a time, because that's about all you can handle, right? I mean, I see people that, you know, do too much. Their kids are involved in too many things. I see it here at church. I see it at work. You know, there's just too many things, and it limits, for us, it limits how much time we can be involved in the kingdom. And so it's very vital for our kids to see that. My wife, every time we would sign up for Little League Baseball, and you would fill out a card, and from that they would do the draft. And she would always write on it, "We are not available for Thursday night games." You know, and they came to know us in that group, that's who we were. The Mueller's kids, Jeff and I both coached some in that league, and they would actually accommodate us to try to schedule us away from Thursday night games or Wednesday night, whenever midweek was. And, you know, that was just what we did. And we, you know, let other people know, you know, and if you let people know, quite often they'll work with you. You know, if you let coaches or whoever it is, they'll work with you. You know, we really can't do that, and we really can't come to that. I was coaching a team once and had to miss a playoff game because of church. And, I'm not sure the parents on that team were happy with me, but You know, that's so be it. You know, the kingdom of God is more important than the Little League baseball playoff game. Amen. As much as I love baseball. So, and you know, again, it's just vital for our kids to see this. You know, even if they're not, you know, you think, you know, maybe they're not that much into church, but if they see that you are,
yes,
they need to see that you are so that it's real to them.
Yes.
You know, that this really is the kingdom of God. My parents really believe this. They really live like it is. It's so important to do that. Amen.
Amen.
Six. I vow to take responsibility for the spiritual formation of my children. Malachi. Why does God give us children? It's in here somewhere. Malachi 2:15. Did he not make them one with a portion of their spirit in the union? He's talking about husband and wife. And what was the one God? I'm sorry, I'm not reading. I can't read this very well. What was the one God seeking? Godly offspring. So guard yourself and your spirit, and let none of your faithfulness be none of you be faithful to the wife of your youth. I'm mangling this, but it's saying God's put us together as husband and wife because he was seeking godly offspring. Godly offspring. That's what he wants. He wants us to produce godly offspring. And that's this vow. It says, I vow to take responsibility for the spiritual formation of my children. That's what I want to do. I want to produce godly offspring. And others will help us. You know, we have others here in the church to help us. But the primary responsibility is on us as parents. It's our job to make to produce godly offspring, to do everything we can so that our children will be godly. And I know we're in all different places. You know, we have very young parents in here, and we have parents of middle schoolers and teens. We have empty nesters in here who kids have already left. So I know we have people in all different situations, but we start where we are, and we continue what we've already been doing to be as involved as we can be in the spiritual formation of our children. You know, you might be overwhelmed with that. Maybe your children aren't doing well right now, but God can help you. You know, we pray for them. You know, you just pray for your children. Pray with your children. David prayed with me even when he said he didn't believe in God, but he would still sit down and pray with me. So I prayed with him. You know, pray for wisdom, for God to help you, and just be engaged. For those of us who are married, work together. You know, my wife would always give me, you know, good, here's what you need to talk to the boys about. She would always give me good input. And, you know, put that on the agenda to talk to them about. And we do the same thing with Allison, although she bears more of the load of talking to her about things. But, you know, we're always talking together. She asked me the other day, something came up in Allison's life, you know, what do we do about this? And we work together. So if we're married in the kingdom, we can do it together. It's a teamwork thing.
Amen.
But again, very important to be engaged in our children's lives. Several of these are going to go together. Seven, I vow to train my children according to God's word. Deuteronomy 6. And this is the... This is the scripture Jesus actually quoted as the greatest commandment. Deuteronomy 6, verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and you shall walk with them when you sit in your you shall talk with them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise. Bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be frontlets between your eyes. Write them on the doorposts on your house and your gates. And we watched Fiddler on the Roof yesterday, one of my wife's favorite movies. And the Jewish tradition, Orthodox Judaism, is to literally do this. They literally put on the doorposts of their house. And every time Tevi walked out the door, he would kiss the scripture there on the on the side of the door. But the point for us, I think, is that, you know, we need to be using scriptures all the time. You know, using scriptures all the time with our children. In the house, in the car, you know, out, eating dinner. You know, we need to be using scriptures whenever we can with our children to teach them things. You know, again, wherever they are in their life, if they're young, you start them young. You know, you get them a Bible storybook that's age appropriate where they can start looking at Bible stories. Maybe you just read it to them and they see the pictures. And as then they get older, they can read it themselves. You know, there are good books out there to help middle schoolers and teenagers learn to have quiet times. You know, and you can buy them and help them with that. You can have quiet times with them and teach them. You know, family devotionals, especially when the children are young. We act out Bible stories. We did a lot of that when our children were young. You're getting the Bible into their minds, into their hearts. So their heroes become the heroes in the Bible. And they know the stories and they remember them. You know, you share, as they get older, we would share specific scriptures about specific issues in their lives. So if they're struggling with something or we want them to work on something, we give them specific scriptures to address that issue. Just, you know, using the Bible as your standard, using the Bible as the source of your teaching. It's not just mom and dad because I say so. It's not just my authority. It's the Word of God. I'm holding myself to this standard, and I'm holding you to this standard. That's vital. That's how to train our children. Amen? Amen. I vow to that my family will live a life of service and outreach. Matthew 5. Verse 14, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. You know, find ways as a family to help people, to help the poor, you know, like Mike and Project Open Hand, or we go to feed the homeless. You know, find ways to help the poor where your light is shining. Frequently, it's hard to do this during the school year, but the Feed the Homeless that's downtown, and I go to it often because it's near my office, and I can go there right after work. But during the summer when they're out of school, we would take the kids to that almost every summer, at least once, maybe twice. And then Art came with me more recently because he works downtown too. But it's just good to involve your kids in that so that they can see you doing it and so that they're learning to do it. And so their light can shine. You know, the same with evangelism. You know, where they see you inviting people to church. They see you having people into your home that you're studying the Bible with. They see you, you know, being involved in carrying out the Great Commission. It's just so important that we be a light and that they can see that in our lives. You know, we talked before about limiting how many activities you're in because of the importance of the kingdom, but the activities you are involved in can be opportunities to do that. You know, when our kids were growing up and were on sports teams, you know, that was an opportunity. Our goal at the beginning of the year was we're going to try to invite to church every other parent on the team, you know, because we were having natural opportunities to be around them all the time. Yeah. And so that was our goal. You know, throughout their youth, as the boys were involved in sports teams, to just reach out to the other parents. You know, you can participate. Like I said, Jeff and I were coaches on teams, and that, you know, gave us instant credibility with the other parents, that we were the coach. And it enabled us to sort of control the atmosphere and sort of the team as well. Or you can be a team mom. Barbara was often, you know, volunteered to do that and help. You know, they're just ways you can serve where you're with your kids, and then it's an outreach to the other families, the other parents. And your kids are seeing that you're doing that. They know that's a part of your life. You know, it's not Well, why don't you ever do that, Mom? You know, or Dad? But they see that you are about that, that it's real in your life, that you're reaching out to people, that you're involved in that. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. First Corinthians 13. I vow to build and protect an emotional connection with each member of my family. Verse 4, love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. You know, we have to be showing love to our children. And that may seem odd. You know, we naturally love our children, but we have to be building a one-on-one relationship with each of them. And sometimes, sometimes you sort of forget that part. You know, you take care of them, you provide them everything they need, you run them all around. But sometimes, especially if you have multiple children, it's just sort of, you're with the kids, you know, it's this group. And that's okay, but you have to be building that one-on-one relationship with each of them. You know, sibling rivalry is not horizontal, it's vertical. It's how each child feels about their relationship with their parent and whether they see the other children getting more parental attention than them. It's a vertical thing. It's not a horizontal thing. And you want to be having that, a loving relationship with each of your children so that they all feel that. And that can be challenging if you have a lot of them. And I understand that. We only have one left in the house, but, you know, we had three at one time for several years. And you do the best you can, and you start where you are now. You know, if that's something you've neglected, you just start where you are now and start building that. I encouraged a dad recently with a teenager, you know, he hadn't been doing that. Well, just start now. And the teenager has enormously appreciated it over the past few weeks that the dad is now in there every week. I tried to do this. Now, I couldn't do it every single week when I had three children at home. But it was kind of on a rotating basis to where I would get with them one-on-one. I tried to get in two a weekend so that, you know, and then it would be the one who missed would be top priority for the next weekend, where I had one-on-one time, whether we, you know, when they were younger, you could go out for ice cream or go to McDonald's. That was always a thrill. I'm glad I don't have to go there much anymore. You just get a milkshake, you know, or we go for a walk sometime, we go to a playground and play when they were really young. When they get older, you know, we frequently go out for a meal. I went out for lunch with Allison yesterday. We do that almost every weekend. Or to Starbucks for a cup of coffee. Just to have that one-on-one time. And every time is not spiritually deep. You know, it's just building the relationship like you would with anybody else. Right. You know, you talk. You know, what's going on? You know, for me as a dad, I'm not there as much during the week as my wife, who's able to stay at home. But, you know, I want to find out what's going on at school. You know, what's going on in your life? What is important to you? You know, if you build that relationship through their whole life, then when the important moments come, you're there. And it's not some, I now need to try to intervene in their life when I don't have some kind of regular relationship. But you're already there. You're already able. And that's the time when you can share scriptures. That's the time when you can share from your own life. That's the time when you can give them advice and when you can influence them in a positive direction and build their faith. And so to me, that might be the most important thing, is just that showing love to our children in a one-on-one relationship.
Yeah.
The most important thing, other than us being spiritual ourselves, is just having that regular time with them where they know, yeah, I'm going to get with my mom or my dad. You know, every week or every other week, I'm going to have time with them. I'm going to be able to talk with them. I know they love me. I know they're involved in my life. That might be the most important vow on this list, other than our own closeness to God. Amen? Amen. Number 10. Let's turn to Philippians. I vow to believe in God's power at work for my children's salvation until the day I die. We know Proverbs 22:6 very well. That says, train a child in the way it should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. I sometimes think, especially those of us who have older children, who have children maybe who've already left the home and are not disciples, or maybe became disciples and fell away, it's hard for us to believe that verse from Proverbs. It is hard for us to believe it. So Philippians 1 in verse 6 says, I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. Okay? Now, he's talking about our own lives, but it also applies to the lives of our children. We began a good work in their lives, and that was God at work. He gave us those children, and we laid a foundation of faith in their lives. They see the faith in our lives, and we have to keep believing.
Amen.
We have to keep believing, as it says, until the day we die, that God is at work. And never lose hope, never lose heart, never give up, and have faith in God. It might be hard. It might seem right now that there's not a lot of hope there, that they're headed in a wrong direction, or they're just not, you know, they're not interested in God at all. But we have to hang in there. We have to keep praying for them. And we have to model faith ourselves. I mean, if we lose faith, that's the worst thing that could happen. I mean, their best hope is that we remain faithful, that we continue to believe in God ourselves, and that we continue to believe in God is working in their lives, and continue to have faith and hope that they can become a disciple. And we don't know when or how. It could be much later in life. It even could be after we die that they become disciples late in their lives. But we just have to keep praying. I know that's hard. I don't face that situation, but I have many friends who do in this room. And I know that's hard. I know that that's difficult to deal with and to struggle with. But again, we have to have faith in God. And just trust him and continue to be faithful. And our children over time can see that. And that's their best hope. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Okay. I got through the 10 vows. I have 2 minutes to spare. What we want to do is just encourage. Again, we've been through a lot. We've covered a lot of stuff in the past 38 minutes. And there's a lot in these 10 different vows, and I've laid out a lot of practicals that, you know, on some level it may seem overwhelming. Well, I can't do all that stuff. But start. You know, start. Pick the one that struck you the most. Yeah, I need to be doing that. And start doing it. And do as many of it as you can. I know many of us are already doing many of these things. Amen. Just be encouraged and keep doing it. And be faithful. But we really want to make a change in our church. We really want this to be the standard, to be what most of us are doing most of the time with our children. And so we really want to encourage you to believe. I know a lot of us, you know, we can be discouraged and we can think, well, you know, I just haven't been this way. And you know, my kids are already getting older. But let's make a change right now. Let's make a change. Let's use this class. We're going to have 3 more classes taught by Mike Rowell, by Alan, by John Becker on different topics. And then this Thursday, we're going to have Q&A. So just like we've been doing with the Shepherded Series, on Thursday night, we're going to have opportunities to do Q&A about what I've talked about today. And we won't be able to do that next week because of Thanksgiving, but we will do that the subsequent weeks when we have these parenting classes. So we'll have an opportunity to have Q&A to talk about it some more. But let's go back, let's pray about these things, and let's really make a change in our lives for us, the sake of our kids. And I believe we will see the fruit, and we are going to see tremendous changes, especially in our middle school and teen ministry. As we change, we're going to see our children want to turn to God, and we're going to see that. Amen?
Amen.
Well, let's pray, and then go get our children. Dear God, we thank you so much, Father, for your word and what it teaches us. Father, we thank you for all the guidance that it gives us. And we want to be the best parents we can be. I know we love our children. I know many of us in here are great examples, Father, and just help us all, Father, to be the best parents we can be, to be the most spiritual people we can be, and to model that for our children, that they can be saved and they can be with us in heaven. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.